While Jeroboam the second was king, God said to Jonah, son of Amathi,
go to Nineveh and preach against its inhabitants, for I know of their wickedness.
But Jonah was extremely frightened, and ignoring the Lord's command, he boarded a boat which was going to Tarsus. Shortly afterwards, a violent storm broke out, threatening to swamp the vessel, and the sailors begged their God to help them. But Jonah was asleep below deck, and when the captain of the boat found him, he woke him and said to him,
why are you asleep? Call upon your God. Perhaps he will protect us, and we will not perish.
The sailors cast lots to find out who was responsible for the storm, and it was found that Jonah was the one. So they then said to him,
tell us why this misfortune has come upon us. Where do you come from? What is your people?
I am a Hebrew. My God is the one that created the heaven and the earth.
Why have you fled far from the face of your God? How can we appease his anger?
Throw me into the sea, for it is because of me that this storm has arisen.
So to calm the fury of the storm, the sailors cast Jonah into the sea. The waves closed in upon Jonah, and God sent from the depths a whale which swallowed him up. For 3 days and three nights he stayed in the monster's belly. But as he had repented of his sins, God caused the whale to cast him onto a beach. He went straight to Nineveh, and the inhabitants, marveling at his words, gave up their evil ways to return into the way of the Lord. For many years, the kings of Judah and of Israel were unfaithful to God. And then the Spirit of the Lord visited the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah said to the people of Israel,
nation of sinners, nation of wicked men, you have abandoned God. You have outraged the guardian of Israel, and you have withdrawn yourselves from him. Where can you be struck after this if you continue your revolt? For the whole head is ill, the heart is wilting. There is nothing healthy from the head to the feet. Your country is a desert. Your towns are consumed by fire, and foreigners eat up your land. God has had enough of your burnt sacrifices. When you stretch up your hands, he hides his face to avoid seeing you. When you multiply your prayers, he does not listen to you. Your hands are full of blood. Wash them. Purify them. Cease to do evil. Uphold the oppressed. Bring help to the orphaned and defend the widowed. Then come to God. If you obey, you will eat the best produce of your soil. But if you rebel, you will be devoured by the sword.
Then the prophet announced the fall of Babylon and foretold the coming of the Messiah.
Listen, house of David, a virgin will give birth to a son, a man of sorrows and made to suffer pain. He will be scorned by everyone. He will bear the weight of our sins. He will be pierced because of them. And by his wounds, we shall be healed. He will be tortured and he will be humiliated. He will be struck, and he will not complain. It will please God to break him with suffering, and he will offer his life as a sacrifice for sin. Because he will have given his body unto death, because he will have been numbered amongst criminals, and because he will have borne the sins of many men, he will intercede to God on behalf of sinners.
A century after the time of Isaiah's prophecies, the armies of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Nineveh, besieged Jerusalem and laid it waste. The temple of God was pillaged, and most of the inhabitants were taken off in captivity to Babylon. Amongst them, four fine, intelligent young men, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. One day, the king was told that Daniel's three companions refused to worship the golden statue that had been raised to the god of the Chaldeans. The king was very angry at this news and said,
"Bind them and throw them into the furnace."
The furnace was heated to seven times its normal heat, and the three young men were thrown in. But no harm befell them, though the men who had cast them in died from the heat. An angel of the Lord had come down to protect Daniel's companions. Nebuchadnezzar was amazed at what he had seen and said,
"Didn't we throw three heavily bound men into the flames?"
Yes, O king.
I see four men who are not bound and who are walking amongst the flames without receiving any hurt. The fourth one has the look of a son of the gods. Take them out of the fire. Let all who speak evil of their god be torn to pieces and their houses destroyed."
Sometime after that, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, gave a great feast to which he invited 1,000 princes. The wine went to his head. He commanded that the sacred goblets plundered from the temple at Jerusalem should be distributed amongst his guests so that they might drink from them. Suddenly, when they were all glorying in their impious action, Belshazzar saw a hand drawing mysterious signs on the wall. The king was frightened and said,
"Whoever reads this writing will receive a gold chain and will be ruler over a third of my kingdom."
Daniel was brought in, and he said,
"You did not humble your heart, Belshazzar, and you raised yourself up against the Lord by making these people drink out of the vessels that had been consecrated to God. Here are the words and what they mean. Mene, tekel, pharsim. Mene means numbered. God has numbered your days and marked the end of your reign. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the scale and you have been found to be too light. Pharsim means divided. Your kingdom will be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians."
That very same night, the king of the Persians invaded Babylon, killed Belshazzar, and Chaldee was joined to Persia. King Darius set 120 province rulers in the kingdom, and above them he placed three ministers, one of whom was Daniel. As he was by far the most intelligent of the three, the other two plotted how they could bring about his downfall. And one day, they went to the king and said,
"May you have long life, King Darius. Your princes and ministers, O king, have made a decree saying that anyone who, during a period of 30 days, addresses prayers to any god or any man save to yourself will be thrown into the lion's den."
In spite of the decree, Daniel knelt down three times a day to pray to God, as had always been his custom. Although it went against his heart to do so, the king ordered Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. Then he shut himself in his palace. The following morning, he hurried to the lion's den and shouted,
"Daniel, has the living God that you serve been able to save you from the lions?"
"God has delivered me, O king. For an angel closed the lion's mouth and they did me no harm."
"Your God is the true God. He must be feared and people must tremble before him. His kingdom will never be destroyed and his dominion will have no end."
On the king's orders, all those who'd spoken ill of Daniel were thrown to the lions, who devoured them. For 300 years, the children of Israel lived in peace, until the day that Antiochus, king of Syria, came into Jerusalem, pillaged the city, and profaned the temple of God by erecting a statue to Jupiter in it. On his orders, the law of Moses was overthrown, and the Israelites were compelled to worship the same gods as the Greeks. But a brave man, Mattathias, rose up against this violence, and his son, Jude, fought a war against the oppressor. At his death, his brothers, Jonathas and Simon, re-established the ancient glory of the people of God. And the Israelites lived in the hope of the coming of the Messiah, which had been promised to them by the prophets.